Hey everyone, welcome to the inaugural show without a name so far. This is Jeremy, and a new show requires a new person. So the new person is our dear friend Shahid. What's going on, my friend?
And nothing much. Just, you know, finished watching the season finale of Arrow. Ready to get to it. I know you're ready.
Hell yeah. So for those who don't know, Shahid and I, we watch most of the same shows, and we usually just go back and forth about the show while it's on. So we figure, well, this is stupid. Let's just do a show about TV shows, movies, comics, and whatever else. I'm not going to say the N-word, so, because that's not fair.
Ninjas? What's wrong with ninjas?
No, there was a Revenge of the movies. I don't know. I just have a hard time with the whole nerd thing. Because it's not anymore. Comics and that have penetrated every bit of popular culture now. Like, the biggest show on TV, Walking Dead. Possibly the second biggest show is the Game of Thrones. I mean, that's all Dungeons and Dragons nerds. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When your parents watch a show, it's not nerd stuff anymore. That's the barometer. So
I think that whole nerd talk, if there was any life to it, it died when the Avengers came out, because that's a movie that everybody saw, and you have to be a nerd to follow it. So
but there's a show like The Big Bang Theory that just like kind of perpetuates all the stereotypes and stuff, and I'm like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works anymore. Now, I'm not saying that those people don't exist, but you know. The overwhelming majority, I'm going to say, are not the bottom, like, the basement, the mom's basement on the internet all the time stuff. So, I don't know. But anyways, we can get into that on the next show when we actually have a format. But we're here to talk about the season finale of Arrow. Hopefully, the season finale of S.H.I.E.L.D. we'll get to. And then some miscellaneous stuff. These are going to be whimsical and controversy-free. So,
again,
what'd you think about the season finale, man?
I was, like I said, it checked off every checkbox I had, how they handled it. I definitely enjoyed it. I was kind of surprised. And the best thing about it was it left it open-ended for next season. If they want to use characters again, then they can go ahead and do that. It went in different directions, but almost all the moves made sense. And yes. It's kind of like, you know, I can't wait for season 3.
Yeah, and just to warn everyone, this is a spoiler show. So if you haven't seen Arrow, you better not listen. This is your final warning. So as Kevin and I have done on the audio the Stunt Granny audios, here's your 5 seconds to turn the show off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so I agree with everything you said. Let's do the one that I consider bad only because it kind of got thrown in there. I'm curious to see the decision that they made with Detective Lance. It was almost as if they couldn't just give one person a happy ending. Like no one really had a happy ending. And that's, I mean, like Lance got his daughter back. He knows his other daughter. Well, he doesn't really know what she's getting into, I guess, because I don't know what father would be comfortable with his daughter going to be an assassin. So then they have him just fall down and bleeding out at the end. It just kind of seemed like out of the blue.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, they needed something to kind of spur Laurel on. That's how I kind of look at it. So, because it was definitely out the blue. You're thinking, you know, it's going to be a semi-happy ending for them, all things considering. And then he's on the ground like he's about to die.
Yeah. When he starts spitting up blood. That was
definitely a surprise. Because that's why I always kind of graded S.H.I.E.L.D. on the curve. And I wasn't as harsh on it as you, because it was like, Arrow is basically building a universe, but it doesn't have any ties to anything else, so it can basically have freedom to do what it wants, and it's CW. Mm-hmm. you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is like ABC and Marvel's baby, and everything has to get tied with the Avengers and Captain America. And a lot of times it's it would serve as a hindrance. Like, we can't do this because we got to drop this line over, and we got to wait for the movie to do this. So until that Captain America episode, it was kind of like they had a plan, but they were being hamstrung. You couldn't see the plan, so it was just a bunch of blank white faces.
Mm-hmm.
And Coulson.
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah, and I think S.H.I.E.L.D. overall would have been done a better service if it would have only been that half a season. Outside of the Ward part, there was really no resonance with anything else. I mean, maybe a few episodes more, but I don't think it needed a full season order. Because the beginning of the series, to me, it was really spinning its wheels. And even the creator said they knew what was going on, but they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I know, you know, you can't just up and quit on the... I mean, not quit on the show. You can't just say, all right, we're just going to put it in a holding pattern. But they kind of did. But once it ramped up, that show was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it was kind of, they lucked out since, if that was like a Fox show, it may not even got to that point.
Oh, no.
And, you know, because they wouldn't have had enough time to build up to that, to get to like, you know, we got a plan, let us get to the plan. So they lucked out, like everything's under the Disney window. But it was definitely kind of taxing. It's like, okay, you dropped in clues and you got a Samuel Jackson cameo, but get to it. Like, mm-hmm. What's the point?
Well, it was funny. The first time Sam Jackson was on, my DVR didn't record it. So,
yeah, all right. And I had to change mine, and I changed it to start recording for 2 minutes after. Because mine didn't, I watched it, but mine didn't record either. It's because of that episode. So,
oh, you know what? That might have been what it was. Because I remember thinking, where was Fury? Someone said he showed up. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't appointment viewing the way Arrow was. So I would watch S.H.I.E.L.D. a few days later. But after Captain America, where everything changed, and then really the show became unhinged, really. And it was, I thought it became not great, but really good, because anything could happen finally.
Yeah. And they definitely shook up, you know, characters. Like, I think changing Ward was kind of like the best thing they did, because, mm-hmm. And he even joked about, you know, I'm boring and I'm just this cookie cutter, blah, blah, blah. And just to turn on his head and just make him a villain and have it make sense based on what happened to Captain America. And they used their guest star, Bill Paxton, I think was probably, that definitely pushed into a better direction. Once he came aboard and just, it shook things up. It wasn't all, you know, caper of the week like it was like the first half of the season.
Yeah.
It was like the A-team. It was like Marvel's the A-team.
Yeah, except not as good.
Exactly.
Well, from what I remember. I purposely don't watch old shows anymore because they don't hold up.
The first few seasons hold up. When they had the Puerto Rican guy and the girl, yeah. That was done.
Yeah, I actually had forgotten that they had a woman on the show for a while. So I was totally lost when that movie came out and they insisted on putting her in there. But you brought up a good point with Bill Paxton. First, he's one of my, and this is no exaggeration, he's one of my favorite actors ever.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he essentially, for the longest period of time, played the exact same character no matter what movie he was in. Delivery, the way he conducted himself, it was fantastic. Now, later on, he's gotten better, but when he joined S.H.I.E.L.D. and when he became the bad guy, wow, that was so much fun to watch, and especially the season finale with him just basically talking gibberish.
Yeah, and you can tell he enjoyed playing, like, he didn't go in there like Melon Roll. Like, he enjoyed playing that role, especially the more over the top he went.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how the fact he's busy spewing all this. I got the universe in my soul, and I can see the light. And everybody looking at him like, what the hell are you talking? Like, everybody's treating him like he's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real person would. If somebody's spewing this mess, it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And especially the point of that got really bad was when Ward even said something. Like, you know, he's really lost it. I've never seen him do this before. And then I read this on a board about it when they said at the end, near the end of the big fight scene with him and Coulson, and then Fury shows up. Okay. First, how did Fury get in that room where they're fighting at the end? Two, how did he get that giant-ass gun from the Avengers in the room? Which, I don't know, did you realize that was the gun at Coulson had?
Yeah, the same gun.
I had no idea. I was like, wow, that's a big-ass gun. And then, as all this is going on, they suddenly turn into, like, Waldorf and Stabler from the Muppets. He's like, oh, I didn't realize he was that off his rocker. I was like, yeah. He's like, wow, he should have told me. And then they just blast him with the gun, which was funny.
I like their chemistry, and I was talking to you about it before. I remember seeing Coulson, Iron Man, and I was like, you know, nice, quiet character, deadpan, you know, kind of the audience voice over all that nonsense and BS. But if you had told me this guy's going to, you know, he's going to be the star of an ABC Marvel show, I would have been like, ugh. But he's basically been the backbone. Like, he plays that role, and he's likable.
Clark Gregg's always been a likable actor, but he's always been the guy on the side. So I was like, oh, okay, that guy's not bad. Oh, I know him from somewhere. But yeah, now that he's the lead, and they reinforce the fact that he was the catalyst for the Avengers. Like, even Fury said, it took the death of an Avenger to get the Avengers together. And Coulson was like, boy, that's me. Like, oh my god, he's talking about me. And then I'd like the direction that now it's Director Coulson, and he has to pick everybody. I think going into the next season, that could be kind of significant, but I also a little trepidation that it's going to turn into another, like, heist of the week thing.
Like, I think it determines. I don't want to make predictions because, you know, until the movies come out, I guess, because, you know, they kind of tied in. They can only do so much, but everything has to stay in place. And I figure by the time season two start, when they supposed to start, fall, because they're doing the Agent Carter series in the meantime. So I'm guessing the fall. So by then, Guardians of the Galaxy will have come and gone, mm-hmm. and they'll be building toward, you know, Avengers 2. It may be a whole caper of the week. It may be building more universe building because they had that little tidbit, you know, Sky's dad, and that whole storyline always bothered me. Sky's like this, like every show always had this character, like she's just this special person, but we never explain why she's so special and important besides the fact she's cute. Like, I've never seen a girl like that. She's just some super hacker that everybody likes, and we're going to have her train to be a government agent, a SHIELD. I'm like, I had to take a background check for like 4 months, random piss tests. I got interviewed for an hour about old cell phone bills from 98. I'm just a pharmacist. She gets in SHIELD after 3 missions, like, for real?
Uh-huh.
Yes, but, you know.
I remember Kevin and I, one of our conversations we had, and that was one of our complaints. And that was right around the time, I think that was the episode, no, it was before she got shot. That was one where she was just running around in, like, her bra or something. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hell yes, now there's a reason to keep her on the show.
I remember you said that to me.
But she's not as annoying now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. It just took a long time for it to get to that point. Trying to do some research here, just trying to figure out who could be Sky's dad. The only thing I can figure out, and I had to figure out what his actual name was, is Molten Man. But he's a Spider-Man villain.
And they can't use Spider-Man.
Right.
I don't know. Do you remember when when Coulson was at that laboratory figuring out what happened when he died, and they had like he saw like a bluish body? I don't know if they're going to have her like she half Kree or she's some type of alien. It's just something like they built out to be. She's not normal.
See, I thought I thought that blue guy was one of the blue elves from Thor. But I I'm not saying it is, but that's just who I thought it was. But apparently it's not. It's just the blue guy. So it's like, all right, well, it's not Dr. Manhattan. That's the wrong company. So, I don't know. It's a nice MacGuffin. I think that's the right term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For next season to try and figure out who that is.
Who's Sky's baby dad? Who's Sky's dad?
But they also mentioned the mother was trying to kill her as well. Oh, wait a minute. What is his name? He was in Secret Wars. What the hell was his name? He was like a real loser villain.
Well, there's a lot of those during that time frame.
There's a lot in Marvel, too, as Kevin was going over.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm just trying to think if that was his name, though. Not the Beyonder. That's not. Was it Absorbing Man?
I remember him, too.
Let me see if that's. No, that's a. That's not him. Damn it. He was a big part of Secret Wars 2, actually. This is why I try to do this shit before Secret Wars 2. Which was a hideous, hideous series, but whatever. But anyways, yeah, I've been dragging my brain trying to figure out who this guy was. And just nothing. Nothing's coming to mind. But then when they mentioned that there was the mom as well, I'm like, all right, so they're both trying to kill her. That just kind of triggered something in me. They're trying to figure it out, but not Claw, Lizard. And I'm also trying to figure out just Avengers villains or people that, are Marvel licensed. Because for those who don't know, the Marvel licensing is spread out all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of, they had to get their foot in the door. And of course, they used their most popular franchise. Like, it's always been X-Men and Spider-Man. And somebody wrote an article saying how, for all the complaints people make that it's not under the same banner, it's a good thing because if you had Spider-Man and the X-Men, would you have an Avengers movie? You definitely would have a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's kind of like they made them work harder because people forget now, like, Iron Man wasn't, like, a big deal when it came out. Thor definitely wasn't. Like, it's hilarious to think, like, the second Thor made more than Superman. And it's Thor. It's goofy-ass Thor. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a mainstream character. You know, now you got a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. My wife's seen that preview about 6 times. And she still asked me, like, what the hell is this about? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I'm not familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I know who Groot and I know who Rocket are. And I know Star-Lord. I don't know the other ones.
See, it's funny. I know the other ones.
Now, as soon as they said they were making that, I was like, Rocket better be in it. And as soon as they had, like, those tests of the raccoon firing a gun, I was sold. I was like, okay, perfect. And really, how big is a Marvel franchise if you've got Bradley Cooper, one of the most beautiful men in Hollywood, just as a voice?
Not only that, have you looked at that IMDb page for that movie? Like, it's just you have Benicio del Toro doing a bit character,
The Collector.
Yeah, you got. It's about what? Two or three either Oscar winners, Oscar nominees just thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel just saying one line. And
yeah. All he says is Groot. That cracks me up. Kind of like Hodor.
Yeah, and it just shows like Marvel, and it goes to, it's their biggest strength they have is casting. They, for 90% of the time, they nail their casting.
Dude, Glenn Close is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm not surprised.
As
I'm
like Nova. Oh, she's head of the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
it's just they know how to they hit, and they hit when it counts. And that's why I was so disappointed in S.H.I.E.L.D. because the casting was kind of this blah.
It's got to be because of the budget, because there are some of the scenes in that that are like, oh boy, that was pretty bad. So hopefully going forward it'll be okay.
You said before, they switched out Ward for the black guy that just added more life to the team. Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, he was interesting though. That's the whole thing. He came in, and of course there was always a trepidation because he was a Garrett that he was going to turn out to be a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he was established, all right, he's not going to mess anyone over. Then they made him as the grandson of one of the Howling Commandos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
BJ Britt. That's it. I'm trying to get his actual name. what his name on the show is. Well, he was skinny before that show. Agent Triplett. So in like a matter of two episodes, he had more depth and more interest than Ward ever did. And then they gave him his grandfather's old, I don't know, what would the briefcase be? Full of goodies, I guess?
Yeah.
That was great. And I love the fact that he throws a noisemaker. It's a legit noisemaker that you knew was going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But that just cracked me up. And it gave him, besides having like an established story, it also gave him like the only tie really to the past. To keep like the Marvel universe going. Or to continue... I'm trying to figure out how to say it. To continue the fact that the Marvel Universe has actually been around a long time.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
They made, and it's kind of, they drop little hints. Coulson's always like a buff. And he had something like, it was like a hypno beam or some little thing. If you remember the comics, you'll notice. If not, you don't think it's a big deal. But it's kind of this little, like you always like the Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a side topic. I remember when near the end of the episode when Garrett came back to life, and I'm like, "Oh, not! I guess he's gonna be back for season 2."
I was so happy.
And then Coulson just the old nonchalant just blew him up and just kept on walking. Mm-hmm. I laughed my ass off because I'm like, "That's just a Joss Whedon thing right there."
Yeah, I would say that was a total Whedon thing, and it worked. But I go after that happened. I didn't think about it till today. He blows him up. So someone's got to come into that room later and go, what the hell is this? But also, did they just leave him laying there?
I was on the assumption that it wasn't anything left. So you have a room and dustpan on some dust. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, I love the big scene. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And... my favorite part of it, and it's a Bill Paxton thing as well, he gets up, his hair is a disaster, his face is all messed up, and he's like, I don't know if it was like Revenge Will Be Mine, something like that. And I was like, okay, here, boom. I'm like, wait, what? And Coulson just blows it right off. I was like, no! We've got unhinged Bill Paxton, what are you doing? But... they've got other stuff going on, so I understood. One thing about that scene that I think's getting overlooked, I don't know if you've seen any of the shots of them filming Avengers Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
What his body looked like was very similar to what the guys wearing the Ultron suits.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. I haven't seen that mentioned too many places.
It's I've come to the thing where some things you have to watch more than once because it's kind of like they drop hints and clues, mm-hmm. and they're on assumption like, fanboys will eat it up. So they assume you're going to watch it more than once. And I've, it's stuff like I might miss the first time, and then I'll notice and say, like, oh, okay, that makes sense that adds to that. So, yeah. I definitely know, like, because even how, like, the armor looked, it reminded me of Ultron a little bit from the bottom part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I, but that was another show that kind of gave everybody a somewhat of a happy ending, but then they yanked, they kind of, without even some of the characters knowing it, just yanked the rug out from under them.
Yeah, so.
Coulson becomes head of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then he's writing the exact same thing that Garrett was writing down, which I think is tied into the Ultron thing.
Yeah,
might be. That was my guess, at least.
Well, they had the same, you know, they same chemicals to bring them back, more or less, in them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it's kind of funny, like, I like how that whole, like, beginning season is all that, you know, how did he come back? It's like, oh, he went to Tahiti and blah, blah. And it was like, we're going to tell you, just give it time. And that was part of, like, that was the arc of the whole season, like, how did they bring him back to life? What type of effect it had on him? It's kind of like, you know, is he a life model decoy or whatever? And it's all that stuff they use. It's not something you just walk off. Okay, now I know everything's cool. So
yeah,
I like how they gave weight to it. And they'll probably go weight, you know. And I like how they turn from character types into people. Because beginning is kind of like, you know, May. She's the tough Asian that never talks. War's generic tough guy. Fitz and Simmons, a science comic relief. And Skye's just, you know, the magic child. And they, more or less.
Yeah.
And then they added weight to the characters, you know, like such and such. Like the whole, which I always get them mixed up. Who's Fitz and who's Simmons? But
you know, I was just about to ask you. I believe Fitz is the guy.
Yeah.
So he's now a budgetary write-off. I don't think we're going to see him next season.
Or you might see a – he might be a changed version.
Yeah, and it, but I think it's going to be one of those things like Arrow, where if they want to use him, they can.
Yeah, but if they
– you know, because you got a cast now. It's pretty diverse cast. I don't – I mean, really – and this is we can have this topic on the next show. The cast is racially diverse without forcing it on you.
Yeah.
It was just, and like you said, cookie cutters, but then when Triplet came in, he was the first guy outside of Coulson that actually came in with a personality.
Exactly.
You've got, and then really that's when the race part doesn't even matter. And that's why I said we can talk about that stuff next time. I don't know if they're adding Patton Oswalt for the series or if he's just going to be one of those pop-up characters here and there. But that actually got me to, like, legitimately, like, smile. Like, yes, there he is. And then it turns out it's Bill, not Eric. So I'm guessing S.H.I.E.L.D. has clones of little middle-aged comedians. You know?
Well, they've always kind of, since Iron Man 2, that whole dance around life model decoy, they dropped that line, and it's always been rumored, like, that exists in the Marvel Universe, kind of. Oh, maybe it is, maybe it's not, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
And as far as diversity, the main character, oh, another one we didn't talk about that was kind of, like, a good representation of the series of kind of, you think he's supposed to be one thing, you're mad that he's not, but he ends up turning out to be something you can like, is Deathlok.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they had the preview, there was, oh, that's Luke Cage. That's going to be Luke Cage. And then you see him, it's like, who's Mike Peterson? He's some guy in a hoodie robbing something for his son.
Yeah.
And then you don't see him. You think he brought him off the show. Then he's training with, you know, he's training in the academy. He's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You know, then he blows up. So he's like, okay. soon as the black guy gets a story, he has to die. That whole, you know, stereotype. Mm-hmm. And then he becomes Deathlok. So, and like they say, and they always say, you know, we have a plan. When you see the plan, you'll like it, but it's frustrating because we can't tell you.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing for a future show as well. Like, we're not always going to talk about just like TV shows, comics, and that. I mean, we will. It'll be in the context, you know, it'll be in the context of the conversation. But I think that's a big one. And I know we actually have gone a little long. But again, with S.H.I.E.L.D., it's another one. They left everything going to where I'm like, cool, I'm going to see you next season now. And it doesn't make me any hype for Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that's been advertised for a while. So I think just for preview-wise, to be real quick, what did you think of the Flash preview during Arrow?
I think it basically encapsulated what the Flash is going to be about. You know, smart-ass, cocky, but, you know, likable.
Yeah.
That's how the Flash is. That's for... From, because like I said, all my exposure to Flash is Justice League.
Yes, okay, I'm glad you said that. And I'm cutting you off on purpose, though. The Flash in the Justice League is Wally West. It's not boring-ass Barry Allen. And that's the problem. And this is going to turn out to be like a comics guy thing. They've basically taken the Wally West character and just given him the Barry Allen name with Barry Allen's job. Barry Allen is a super bore. That's why they killed him all those years ago. 25 years ago, whatever it was. No one was reading his book anymore. So they established Wally West for the longest time. So, hey, that's for another show, I guess.
But, I mean, I hear what you're coming from, but I kind of... My whole opinion of it when it comes like, you know, adaptation of comics... If you're going to change it, if you make it enjoyable, I'll give you a pass. Because there's no point of just, you know, doing a carbon copy exactly the way the comic is. Because, like, what's the point? As long as you don't piss on the storyline too much,
yeah,
it's kind of like, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm going to give it a chance. I thought it looked pretty cool. I like the effect of him running. It had the lightning just like the comics. That was pretty cool. I know you're going to get on me. The costume, we'll see. It was a little cartoony, which was the Humberto Ramos thing, but I can explain that on a different show. And then what was the other thing? There was the Batman picture this week, too.
How you know?
Speaking of, you know, like internet or comics people overreacting, or just basically... not giving things a chance.
I don't know why they keep... How many times in history has this happened? People complain about casting before the movie comes out, and then the movie comes out, they nail the roles like, oh, you know, give it a chance till the next thing. And they've been doing that since... I don't know if they did it in Superman. Definitely, I remember since the first Batman. They've been doing that, complaining about casting.
Oh, yeah, Michael Keaton got dumped on...
No...
It worked out pretty well.
Batman example, like Michael Keaton got dumped on, Christian Bale got dumped on, Heath Ledger definitely got dumped on,
oh, yeah.
Tom Hardy and halfway. It's like, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that get, you know, the ones that were like the most, oh, George Clooney will be a perfect Batman. Those are the ones that end up crapping out. So,
well, sometimes, though, they get it right. Like when they announced that Ryan Reynolds was going to be Hal Jordan. Oh, boy. I was like, I'll give it a chance.
He's cursed.
Ugh.
I feel so sorry for Ryan Reynolds. It's kind of like... He's...
He actually was the voice of a snail in a cartoon movie, and it bombed.
Yeah,
that should tell you all you need to know.
They use him wrong. I mean, it's funny. I'm gonna compare him to Chris Evans because it's funny if you hit some when Chris Evans was announced as Captain America, and it's a perfect segue because we talk about that next. It's like Johnny Storm, the guy from Cellular, like he's gonna be Captain America, like, and now. I couldn't picture anybody else that could play the role like him. Like, he just has that gravity. Ryan Reynolds is he's a smart aleck. He'd be perfect as Deadpool and those type of things. And it's funny, they let him play that role and they just F up the role. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's kind of like they're making him to be something he's not. He's a utility man. He's a number two, and they keep trying to make him into like a number one, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. You wanted to bring up Captain America real quick?
Yeah. If that's not my favorite Marvel movie, it's definitely like either number two or number three. Like, I saw it twice. Like, I love that movie. And besides, I know you had issues with the whole explosion, Marvel explosion at the end. It's kind of like, it's a political movie, it's a thriller, but it's still a Marvel movie. So yeah. It's kind of that. But I thought it was just, it made you care about everything that's going on. I thought the casting was top notch. You take a character like goofy ass Falcon and you make him not, and you make him cool, then you got my money.
Yeah, no, I enjoy Captain America. I just get burnt out on that stuff after a while. And my mom's always the one that points it out. She's like, they go through all this stuff and no one thinks of shooting him in the head. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Or she's like, just aim at his feet. They're not, and I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, so all those explosions and all that just takes you out of it. And I'm like, yeah. I liked the Man of Steel. I didn't mind that they changed the source material. You know, they could have done it in better ways. My big problem was the end. Just 20, 30 minutes of nothing but buildings falling and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, God. And that's kind of what Captain America turned into.
But that's kind of like the nature of, that's the evil of comic books. And
yeah.
I mean, Blade's the exception. That's not the rule. And you can't do that. If you spend that much money on movies, you can't have, and we talked the same thing about with Wolverine. They had to add that big set piece at the end to bring it in. It's kind of like, I don't know if somebody's brave enough where you can make a movie and that's not part of it. And they've come close, but it's going to be there.
Yeah. I that's what I'm hoping, that some of these TV series Marvel's going to pump out are going to do that. And DC. But that actually, I think that'll be the hook for next time. We can talk about the new TV series and that are going to be coming out within the next year. We've got Flash coming. Constantine. Because they won't call it Hellblazer. And it didn't look like Hellblazer. Gotham, was it Gotham or?
It's Gotham.
Yeah. And then we've got.
They have a Sandman series, AMC, or talking about?
They're talking about it. AMC also has the rights to Preacher now, so we can get into that on a future show. But we've been doing this an hour, so we don't want to overstay our welcome on the first show if anyone's even listening still. So. I will say this, for a first show, this is probably the most successful first show I've ever done. So,
hey, we like Riggs and Murtaugh, what can I say?
God. Well, as we all know, I wouldn't be talking to you anymore. So, so, all right, gang. Well, listen, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to let you take us out. If you like the show, let us know. StuntGranny@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on the post, leave it on Facebook. I'm not doing the plugs for everybody. I'm Granny Mays on Twitter. I don't remember your Twitter name.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So there's that. So I'm going to say goodnight. We'll talk to you next week. And Shahid, you get to take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we are out.